Eliab was in his, I would guess, late 30s, maybe even into his 40s, when we see him in a famous battle. Because, I'm guessing that age, because he had brothers who were all younger than he. And some were even too young to be at the battle. Although, when you consider the enemy that they faced, they really could have used everybody possible. Eliab's brothers, Shammah and Abinadab, also joined him in the battle. And one of their brothers would tend to their needs, traveling between home and the battle to give them whatever they needed, such as cheese, grain, and bread. Yet Eliab did not treat his little brother well when he came to the battle, probably embarrassed that his little brother saw him, the big brother, with fear. And, you know, you want to appear tough to your little brothers. I have two little brothers. I'm the oldest one of my family. I want them to know that your big brother Don doesn't fear anything. And after all, the Bible does indicate that Eliab impressed people with his appearance and his physical stature. So his little brother probably looked up to him, although the little brother himself was quite impressive. He could do things that you've never heard of anyone his age doing. And he could think and say things that you just would not expect someone his age to say. And on this one occasion, Eliab thought that his little brother came to see the excitement of the war, as though nothing dangerous was going on. So let's learn about Eliab's brother. The Bible says this: "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah and in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them." But as we'll discover shortly, something in a way much greater than a valley stood between these two armies. The Bible continues, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." Okay, you probably know what story this is about. So if you want to read along with me, you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm in verse 4. "So there was Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between the shoulders." You know, it was down like this, and he could just pull that thing out, ready to throw it at any time. Verse 7. "Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him." Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. Why was he a champion? Well, he would be a champion, obviously, because he was a man who had killed many men. He had been in battle many times before, and no one had defeated him. Oh, he may have received some scars, But he undoubtedly killed or severely wounded everyone he ever faced. Now look at the size of this man. We're told that he was 6 cubits and a span. Now, the conservative estimate of a cubit was 18 inches. And a span would be 9 inches. A cubit was supposed to be from the tip of the elbow to the tip of the middle finger, and a span was the hand open all the way, so from the tip of the pinky to the tip of the thumb. And so the small estimates would be 18 inches and then 9. That would make Goliath 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Or that right there is 10 feet, 6 inches. So drop down about 6 inches, well, actually a foot. And, you know, that guy was pretty tall. I mean, I'm just over 6 foot, and he's way up there someplace. Wow. He's a big guy. He's a big boy. Not somebody I want to meet in a dark alley who has something against me. I talked with Nathan about this concerning his weight. Nathan told me the formula they go through in, you know, dietitian stuff and everything. And the ideal weight for Goliath would have been 466 pounds. All he has to do is just throw his weight at you and you're dead. Now, and look how strong he must have been. His coat of mail weighed 126 pounds. That's what he's carrying all over his body. His spearhead weighed 15 pounds. Wow. And on top of that, I don't know if you noticed, but I read verse 7 real slowly. Goliath wasn't alone. We often, you know, if you see paintings or cartoons of this, it's always David and Goliath. But there's really 3 men there that day. One who carried Goliath's armor. This guy came with so much, and he must have had a shield large enough that one man would have to carry that, and then Goliath could run and hide behind that when, you know, things were thrown at him. This was a war machine. All in himself. Look at his challenge, verses 8 through 10. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." What a challenge. Interestingly, he said that if he dies, we will be your servants. I always thought that was interesting how he turned that, because obviously he'd be dead and he couldn't offer himself as a servant. But we'll see if the Philistines keep that promise or not. In verse 11, look how the Israelites referred to that, or reacted to that. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And who wouldn't be? I mean, look at this man. He's large. He has plenty of armor. And there's an armor bearer who's carrying his shield for Goliath. And then there's a sudden turn in the story. And we're introduced to Eliab's brother. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul, and the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And that's because David, if you remember in the story, would play the harp for Saul. Whenever an evil spirit came and troubled him, David would play the harp and the spirit would go away. So he would do that for Saul when he needed him, and then he would go back home and take care of his father's sheep. But it's interesting the way the writer of 1 Samuel does this. He gets us all prepared for the battle, and then all of a sudden he turns our attention to an unlikely hero who's not even at the battle. And he's not even old enough to fight. In Israel, you had to be 20 years old, all the way up to 50. So that's how we know Eliab wasn't older than 50. That's why I figured earlier, you know, because of his brothers and so on, and David's this age, Eliab's got to be in his late 30s, maybe even into his 40s. And David is probably a teenager. And then verses 16 to 19 shows this. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So what's David in this story? He's the water boy. He's the gopher. He's the errand boy. Don't despise water boys. In fact, Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise the day of small things." You never know who somebody might be. Somebody you look down on. Somebody who's just serving you. They're obviously not as good as you because they're the one who's doing the serving and you're the one who's being served. Don't think that way. You never know who's helping you. Well, the man of war, Goliath, lit a fire in the heart of the shepherd. Look at 20 through 24. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the fanes and went as Jesse had commanded him. And it came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. So just see them there on these two mountainsides. And they're yelling at each other. They're getting all fired up, but you know, they're all bark and no bite. Both sides. Nothing's going on. Verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. So he's doing as dad told him to do. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now David hears these words and he sees the armies of God trembling in their boots. Both sides wanted to fight, but no one wanted to go first. So the Philistines chickened out and they sent their champion. And the Israelites chickened out because they didn't want to die. And frankly, I don't blame them. And they let Goliath set the terms. And I thought to myself, well, Israel, why don't you just all go attack him at one time? You can kill him. And then go after the Philistines. Don't you remember what happened with your forefathers in Egypt? How God delivered them from the Egyptians? Don't you remember what happened at the Red Sea? Don't you remember how your teachers in synagogue school have taught you what Gideon did and what Samson did? Have you forgotten all those things? Well, probably academically, no, they hadn't. They just didn't know how to apply what they had learned when they faced a situation themselves. So David heard the challenge and he saw Israel flee. And that provoked his spirit. You do not defy the armies of Israel. That's what he's thinking. We'll find that out. So already he wants to get the guy for himself. But watch what happens next in 25 to 27. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That's why they gave him the answer in the previous verses they did. He had asked. He's already thinking in his mind, "I'm going to take this guy out. So what's going to be done for the man who takes him out? He's defying God's armies. There's got to be some kind of rich reward for this." And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." So let's think about this for a moment. David already wants to kill this guy. But he finds out if you do, you get rich, you get to marry a king's daughter, and you don't have to pay taxes anymore. Yes, I'll do it. He knows he can do it, no problem. But there's big brother troubles. Verses 28 through 30. "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now?'" Have any of you younger siblings said that to your older ones? "What have I done now? Why do I get blamed for everything? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him, ignored his big brother, told another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. In other words, he's checking up. Are you sure that you get riches, the king's daughter, and exemption from taxes? He doesn't want to hear it just from one person. He wants to hear it from several that this is really true. You know, big brothers think they're in charge, don't they? Like I said, I'm a big brother, but little brothers always think they can do better. And in this case, this one not only thought that he could, but he actually could. Now, look at his resume. Look at the shepherd's resume, verses 31 to 37. "Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, and they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lion.'" Now he struck it but didn't kill it at that point, okay? He just dazed it or something. "And delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" I mean, how can you argue against that? So first, the shepherd boy struck the predator, whether it was a lion or a bear, and delivered the lamb. Obviously, he didn't kill the lion or the bear. And when the animal revived, you know, after being stunned or knocked out, David grabbed it under the chin there and the beard, he said, and he struck it somehow and killed it. And third, he said, that this giant is no different than the predators. And why is that? Well, three things. The Philistine was uncircumcised. In David's mind, that means, look, he's not of Israel. Therefore, he's nothing. Maybe David did remember Israel in Egypt and at the Red Sea. Maybe he did remember Gideon and his 300 men against the 135,000 Midianites. Maybe he did remember Samson and the thousands he killed single-handedly in his own life. David's saying, man, God was with them. He's with me. No problem. Let's get the show over. And so he knew that this man had defied the armies of the living God, and that just doesn't stand with God. Now, maybe it'll stand with Israel, but it won't stand with God. And so even as he delivered me from those predators, so he'll deliver me from this uncircumcised man. Look what David does now, verses 38 through 40. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Well, the shepherd boy could not be hampered with stuff he's not tried or before. And not only that, but he wasn't wearing any gear like that when he fought the lion and the bear. Why does he need it with this man? Five smooth stones versus an armor-clad warrior who had a javelin, a spear with a head that weighed more than David's head, and stood behind an armor bearer. And then notice what David does. He takes a staff, which Goliath will call a stick, five rocks, and puts them in a shepherd's bag and goes to meet such a warrior. All right, let's find out what happens in verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. The two warriors go out to meet each other. Of course, off in the distance, Goliath can't see that he's just a kid. And there's, remember, three men, according to verse 41, going down to the center of this valley. Next, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, you can see it's just like he's looking around. Is this what you've presented to me, Israel? And saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Not ugly like Goliath, I guess. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Well, the Philistine saw a young boy. The sun and the weather had not tanned his skin and roughed it up and made it look like leather yet, I guess. He had no scars or other signs of battle. And he only sees the shepherd's staff in David's hand and thinks, what is this? He's coming out to play with sticks? Never despise a shepherd with his staff. And I'll show you how effective a staff can be here in just a few moments. All right, verses 45 to 47. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Well, had Goliath ever heard anyone talk to him like that before, especially a little pipsqueak? And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, not only you, Goliath, but your whole army, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, using Goliath's own words, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's David's concern. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The Philistine trusted in his weapons, but David trusted in the God whom the Philistine had defied. David sought no name for himself, but only a name for his God. And then in verses 48 through 51, David used the Benaiah tactic. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Wow. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Hey guys, what happened to your agreement that you would be the servants of Israel? Well, even as Goliath did not see the stones, so he did not see the God who was behind David. One stone found its mark, and then like the statue of Saddam Hussein falling down before the American army. Did you see it on TV? And for some reason our news didn't make a big deal about it. But man, when I saw that, I thought, wow, you talk about symbolic. Well, in the same way, Goliath fell down on his face before the boy with a stick. As with the predators, David had to strike Goliath again, removing his head. But David had no sword, so he had to use Goliath's own sword. That's the Benaiah tactic. What Caden read earlier from 2 Samuel 23, verse 21, when it said, "And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man," and other verses in the Bible say that this Egyptian was 7.5 feet tall. So I measured before my Bible class, and that's about 7.5 feet tall right there. But watch how he did it. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down with him to him with a staff, or a club, Caden's translation said, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Wow. And then the shepherd gets the trophy, verses 52 through 54. "Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sherem, even as far as Gath and Ekron." They're just dropping like flies. "Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine." And he's carrying this thing around. And probably not like that either. It's probably down to the side, because it's heavy. "Took the head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent." David's going around carrying what probably weighed 20 or 30 pounds, I would guess, Goliath's head. And he wants to give it to Saul. "Here's your trophy." Man, imagine, what kind of head does this guy have on him? And David then collects Goliath's armor. Hey, that stuff's valuable. It was made out of bronze. Never disregard the force of your courage, because that one young man, David, changed the hearts of the whole army of Israel. How powerful his courage was. And by the way, King Saul's wondering, who is that guy? Let's finish the chapter. "When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As your soul lives, O king, I do not know.' So the king said, 'Inquire whose son this young man is.' Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite.'" Well, Saul knew who David was because he played the harp for him, but he didn't really notice him. He was tormented by an evil spirit during those times. But now Saul knows who he is. And notice that David gladly announced that he was the son of Jesse. He didn't say, I'm the brother of Eliab. And I don't blame him. I don't think I would have either. The way he was treated by his older brother there. I'd like to say to the Philistines of the secular world today, listen up. Do not defy the armies of the church of the living God. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. And even as he delivered David from the Philistine, so he will deliver us from you when you try and silence us. Let the Davids in the church arise and use the stones of the Word of God and take the sword of the Spirit to finish off the job. Go to Jesus now. He's your king, like Saul was David's king. He wants to save you, and he wants to incorporate you into his army. Do you want to be in his army today? Why delay anymore? Why not become a Christian today? You can be baptized in the baptistry behind me if you have need of that. Come forward right now as we stand and sing.